أهلا بكل الذين ينضموا للاستماع إلى راديو بلدي، أول راديو عربي أمريكي يجمع في بث حي ومباشر ولاية ميشيغان، شيكاغو، وينزر، كندا، ويعنى بقضايا العرب المهجر. برامجنا في راديو بلدي كل يوم جمعة من 8 حتى 9 صباحا مع ليلى الحسيني واري حنانية في بث حي ومباشر من ميشيغان وشيكاغو عبر WNZK Radio 690 AM و WJJG 1530 AM. للاتصال بنا مباشرة في ميشيغان 248-557-3300 ومن شيكاغو مباشرة على الرقم 708-493-1530 أو عبر الويب سايت عبر www.radiobaladi.com. صباح الخير بلدي، صباح الخير لكل مستمعينا في ميشيغان، وينزر، كندا، وشيكاغو.
Welcome to Radio Baladi, the first Arab, Middle Eastern and American simulcast radio show linking Dearborn, Chicago and Windsor, Canada on the radio throughout the world with our live broadcast at radiobaladi.com. Radio Baladi is broadcast every Friday morning in the Dearborn region on WNZK 690 AM from 8 until 9 Eastern Time on Good Morning Michigan with Layla Al-Husseini. Radio Baladi is broadcast at the same time in Chicago on WJJG 1530 AM from 7 to 8 Central Time on Radio Chicagoland, hosted by Ray Hanania. Our call-in numbers in the Dearborn region are 248-557-3300 or in Chicago at 708-493-1530. Go to RadioBaladi.com for contact information and show guests. And now, stay tuned for the best radio talk show on Arab and American issues with your hosts, Layla Al-Husseini and Ray Hanania.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Baladi. Hey everybody, good morning and welcome to Radio Baladi. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690. Our number here at Radio Baladi is 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300. We have a nice lineup of guests today and topics that I hope you'll join in discussing. We want to thank some of our sponsors, Ziad Brothers Importing. They have a new product called Zwan, which is now out there, that beef and chicken luncheon meat. It's great and very popular. Just go to your local store. Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the Law Offices of Attorney Stephen Lagana, and the American Muslim Center with Imam Mardini. We also want to thank our partners and supporters, Radio Aramica. You can listen online or using your cell phone by dialing 712-432-8008. And also our partners, El Muntada Newspaper, MC Gold TV, Sabil Media, The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, the Law Offices of Jumana K. Ruse, the Life for Relief and Development, and a special thanks, as usual every week, to Dr. Bassem DeBibo for all his support from the National Arab American Medical Association. Good Morning Michigan is hosted by award-winning journalist Layla Al-Husseini, and that's broadcast, one of our partner programs, Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. on WNZK AM 690. Every Monday, you can listen to Layla's discussion with award-winning journalist Ali Yunus, who's based in Washington, D.C., and I think every Wednesday she does a weekly interview with Jumana K. Ruse. So those are programs you want to check into while you're tuning in every morning at 8 o'clock in Detroit land, northern Michigan, northern Ohio, Windsor, Canada. And remember, our phone number to join in any of our discussions is 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300. Right now, I want to welcome our first guest, who is Lena Mata. Lena is involved with Enna, which, of course, as everyone knows, means me or I in Arabic. It's a new film series that showcases the best Arab directors working today. It's about exciting personal visions. I'm looking at their website at EnnaArabCinema.com. It's about Arabs re-embracing their heritage as Hakawatis, or storytellers. Lena, welcome to Radio Ballady this morning.
Good morning, Ray.
How are you doing?
The coffee's settling in, so I'm doing okay.
And where are you now, by the way? Because you travel almost as much as me, but probably more.
I'm currently in New York, in Westchester.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a little bit early there for you. Well, it's still you're on Detroit time at 8:07, so that's good. That's not too bad. Out here in Chicago, it's 7. But you were in Dubai recently, weren't you?
I was in Dubai. I actually live in Dubai and work in Dubai. I'm the channel manager of NBC4.
Wow. I'll tell you what. I love Dubai. I think it's a wonderful place to be. It's the best combination of what we can get or expect in terms of Arab democracy and media freedom that we'll probably ever find in the Middle East. So I would be pretty happy with it. I was there in 2004, and it was just a wonderful experience. It was good. Now, didn't you have a big film festival there? Tell us about ENA, the Arab cinema.
You know, ENA is an initiative that this is the first year that we do ENA. And after having lived in the Middle East and specifically in Dubai for the last 7 or 8 years, and Dubai Film Festival started in 2004. After that, the Abu Dhabi Film Festival, and most recently, the Doha Tribeca Film Festival. And these festivals have allowed there to be a place for Arab filmmakers to show, it's like a showcase for Arab filmmakers. And it's allowed them, like, an international venue in which to show their films. So, as somebody living there, I finally had a chance to watch these films, and I was very excited about what I was seeing, because when I was growing up in Lebanon in the 1970s, there really was very little that you saw coming out of the Middle East. There was a lot of Egyptian movies, and it was not the heyday of Egyptian movies, so it was mainly Egyptian melodramas. And this was a very different type of film, very different type of vision. So I got really excited about that, but was getting frustrated that a lot of these films were not making it out of the region and into the U.S. And with all this understanding that's happening between the two cultures, I thought, what better way for us to, you know, act like cultural ambassadors than by bringing films by Arab filmmakers for Arab audiences and giving them a chance to be seen in the West.
So you scoured some of the film festivals that are in the Gulf states, Dubai, Doha, and that region. Then you picked the top films that you thought, or was it judges that you thought were the best? And then you brought them to the U.S. in New York, where you're at right now, for the ENA Contemporary Arab Film Series, which began Wednesday and continues through May 15th in New York, correct?
Correct.
How did you pick the films, and what were you looking for?
No, I was looking for... The litmus test is I was able to sit through it, enjoy it, and not fall asleep. That was like the primary.
Well, that's a criteria really for most successful film. You know, sometimes in the Arab world we have a much more rigid, you know, demand on our media. We have to have a political speech, you know, or a dissertation that, believe me, can be very boring. And sometimes we don't always tell the story of the person. It's more like a political argument. Were you able to find films that told stories about who we are?
That was what was wonderful about this, that I did find films that were telling stories about who we are, and they were telling very different stories. It wasn't the same story. It wasn't, because, like you were saying, we tend to have a lot of political films, and these films that I chose were more social issue films than they were political. And some of them were just pure artistic. I mean, there's a film called The Three Disappearances of Bob Cookney, and that's a film that's been pulled together by the director had basically watched the entire oeuvre of Bob Cookney's films and handpicked scenes from each and every film to try to tell the story of Bob Cookney without any voiceovers, without any interviews with experts, without obviously having access to Bob Cookney, who sadly died a few years back. So this documentary is put together just by footage culled from her films, and she had a long career of filmmaking. She's kind of Elizabeth Taylor of the Middle East. So not only in this film do you get to know Saad Hosni, the actress, but you also get to know Saad Hosni, the Egyptian cinema, what Egypt was like during that time, the trajectory of her career, what her personal life was like, all of that through the kind of roles that she chose in the films that she acted in. So it's not all political films. There's a lot of films that are art films. There's one about a grandmother who was married grandma a thousand times. Is a young filmmaker who interviews his grandmother, and his grandmother is one of these typical Arisi ladies who's sitting on balconies staring out into the sky. And you kind of go into her house and you see what her life is like, and you realize that she had this rich life, and she was like everybody, of course. But, you know, you don't see that when you're walking down the street and you're seeing these pictures of balconies in the windows. But here was this woman who was married to one of the violinists in Lebanon.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say that I just helped complete a 35-minute movie short with Saeed Badria, who is an actor. He was the director of the film. And it was interesting because we tried to do something with this film that was different from other typically Arab world films, at least that appeal to American audiences. This was to kind of tell a real story, good, bad, and ugly. We didn't, you know, want to sugarcoat it. We wanted to tell the story of how Arabs were being, arrested after September 11th, how they were being sent to jail, and during prison they would meet up with, a crime element, and after being released for whatever reason, whether they were innocent or not, the story kind of focused on how they tried to readapt, you know, into their everyday life and the pressures that they had. We thought, you know, we need to tell Americans that story. Are there a lot of films like that out there that Americans might be able to watch to say, wow, this is the experience that Arab Americans are going through?
You know, I have to say that I, instead of concentrating on films done by Arab Americans, and of which there are many, I tried to pick films that were done by Arab directors who are actually living in the Middle East at this point.
And what's the focus, I mean, like their audience? What message do you see? Like, what are they trying to portray in their films when you look at the films coming from Arab directors and producers in the Middle East?
I think we're trying to understand ourselves. I mean, it's not everybody, there's always a message of, you know, bridging cultural divides and all that. But I think these films are more about, let's see what our problems are and let's try to understand ourselves. And let's try to see how we can solve our own problems. Rather than blaming
it.
Go ahead.
No, that's right. I'm sorry. We're all, you know, we're talking long distance, and I really appreciate it. Just to remind our listeners, we are talking with Lena Mehta. She is the director, I guess, of the ENA Contemporary Arab Film Series, which began May 9th in New York City and is running through May 15th. Their website is enaarabcinema.com, enaarabcinema.com. We have a link to it on our website at radioballady.com. Lena, the interesting aspect of film that I've always had is that the Arabs only talk to themselves. And it's always kind of bothered me because we always complain that we don't really get the kind of respect we want in the West. And in the Arab world, we're really kind of under the thumb of dictators and oppression or restrictions. So we tend to kind of adapt to what we have in the Middle East, in the Arab world, you know, living by those rules. And then when we come to the United States, it's like we're incapable of making a movie like Exodus, you know, which was a fiction story that defined the state of Israel. Yet it was such a compelling movie. It was a great film. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have a film like that that's just a great story, but that subtly tells the message that we want to bring out to Western audiences? Do we not feel that's important?
No, I think we feel it's very important. I think, you know, I think as a landscape of media, I mean, it has changed tremendously. We grew up with a closed space, more or less in a lot of these countries. They had terrestrial television, and usually these terrestrial televisions were run by government bodies. And it's only recently that we've had satellite TV, where the borders have basically been broken down, and you can get messages from across countries. And, you know, when NBC first opened and it was beaming out of London into the Middle East, into the entire Middle East, this was the first time that people in Kuwait were seeing what people in Lebanon were talking about, and people in Bahrain were seeing what, you know. So I think television started the revolution of opening, of breaking down the boundaries between the borders. And now, you know, you can be sitting in Sudan and watching Desperate Housewives, because through television and through satellite, you now have access to all these channels of broadcasting and beaming from all around the world. So I think that's one of the first boundaries that had to be broken down. I think another issue was money. Making films or making television is a very, very expensive medium. Equipment to produce has now become a lot cheaper and a lot more accessible. Everybody who has a smartphone basically has a camera and an editing machine and can broadcast the signal from his phone. So
everybody thinks they're a movie producer, right, now that they have a smartphone.
Well, but it was very important, for instance, during these latest uprisings, for us to see footage that we would never have seen before, because these young people who were in the middle of it all were able to beam their images Facebook and YouTube and Twitter to a world who was very curious as to what was happening on the ground. And
now, doesn't that reflect the problem that we face, though, that, you know, we're so hungry to tell our story? I mean, first of all, you're right. It's very expensive to make these films. The equipment is very costly. I know that the making the movie Chicago Mirage in Chicago last year, ran over, I think we had to raise $45,000, and that was on a very tight budget with one Hollywood actor and, some very talented people. But you're right, I mean, it's, you got to have the money. And the second thing is, you know, you raised the point earlier that I thought was really interesting. In the Arab world, it seems that it's easier to get Baywatch and American TV programs to the Arabs than it is to get the Arab programs to Americans. And I use Americans as an example of the West, obviously. But is that the case, and why is that the case? Why is it so hard for us to get our message to Americans, yet we, you know, subscribe to all these programs that people are watching in the United States and England, you know, in the Middle East? Why is that?
You know, I think it's twofold. I think money is truly an issue. Money and know-how. I think what's very interesting with all these film festivals that have popped up in the region is first that they've whetted the region's appetite. They've shown the region a type of film that they never used to see before. We used to get Hollywood blockbusters. Now we're getting art house films. We're getting films from independent filmmakers in the States, and we're getting films from European filmmakers. So that, in a way, is creating an audience that's more sophisticated in the kind of movies that they want to watch. And alongside all these festivals, there are educational institutions and there are funding opportunities. So if our filmmakers can now apply for funding in the script stage, in the pre-production stage, in the production stage, and in the post-production stage, and in addition to funding that has become, I'm not saying it's easy, because it's always going to be competitive and it's always going to be hard, but now maybe instead of it taking you, if you have a good script, instead of it taking you 5 years or 7 years to get the money, it might take you 1 year or 2 years to get the money.
Do you think these challenges that you're talking about have anything to do with our attitudes as Arabs in the Middle East, where, I mean, we do appreciate movies that are entertaining, about love stories, you know, the traditional ones we've watched over the years. But do you think we really, as Arabs, recognize the power of film in terms of how it can change public perceptions of who we are and what we're about?
You know, I think it does. I just want to go back to the point that I was making, because in addition to the funding, they're also providing mentorship. And one of the reasons why it's been difficult for our product to translate or to travel across borders is because the quality of the end product really was not up to par in a lot of cases. But now, because we are being, there's a lot of co-financing and co-producing, and mentorship at a very, very early stage, the end product is a product that is much more watchable. So, you know, so for people who are, for people in the West who've been raised to watching films that are beautifully shot and beautifully edited and with a certain tempo, and then to ask them to watch sometimes an Arab film that might drag on for like 3 hours and look like, you know, there might be a really good story there, but the acting's not so good and the camera work, well, that's not a problem anymore. We're transcending that. We're getting better acting, better production skills, better editing skills, better...
Are we getting better stories, do you think? Do you really think we're getting better stories?
The Arabs have never had an issue with stories. They've always been great storytellers. Now they've gotten better tools and better know-how and better guidance.
Well, let me press you, because this is so important, and that's why I think you're such an excellent guest to talk to, because this really touches on something very important. You are right that we have never had a problem with telling stories, but isn't it the kind of stories, I mean, we can tell a story, then why is it that, you know, and again, I'm not asking you to do a whole political thing, but it seems like the way we tell a story has not served our advantage in terms of educating, for example, Americans. I mean, you know, they don't understand us, and we've been in the United States 150 years. Is it because we're so good at telling us, do you know what I mean, that we're so good at talking to ourselves? Maybe we don't know how to tell a story to people who don't know us. Why is there that disconnect? I mean, to me, as someone who's not a professional in film, I always wonder, every time I turn a movie on in the Middle East, it's so either boring, it doesn't, you know, appeal to me, it doesn't connect, and I'm Arab. And if sometimes I don't like it, I assume most Americans aren't even going to waste their time. Do you see that?
And I think that was a surprise that I felt when I went back to the Middle East and realized that this is not the reaction that I'm getting when I'm seeing these films. For myself, I'm somebody who watches, who devours films. You know, I can sit and watch 5 films a day, and I do a lot of festival jumping, and I end up spending like 5 days or 10 days where I'm watching 6 or 7 films a day. So your tolerance level becomes really, you know, you're not going to tolerate something that's unbearable, and you're going to walk out because you have so many other options. The screens are full of other films that you can walk into.
Right.
But for a film to actually engage me and keep me sitting there, and for me to say, yes, I think this is something that, you know, I can take outside of its context and show it to audiences overseas and have them react to it in the same way that I'm reacting to it, because this is a good story. So I think, yes, our tools have gotten better.
Lena, we only got a couple minutes here at at Radio Ballady. By the way, listeners, you're listening to Lena Matta. She's with the Enna Film Festival. If you're in New York City, and we got a lot of people who listen online, you'll want to look them up at EnnaArabCinema.com, EnnaArabCinema.com. It's a contemporary Arab film series that Enna is sponsoring, that is running in New York May 9th through May 15th. So there's still time. Lena, a quick question before we thank you for joining us. And I know it was hard for us to connect because the time zone issues and travel, but this is such a fascinating topic. I want to address it again. Just one final thought. Just what are the top 3 films that you think people should look for, you know, in, you know, the vast array of Arab films that are out there?
You know, one of the films that we're showing is a film called Cairo 678. And Cairo 678 tackles the issue of sexual harassment. And I think this is an international issue that crosses borders. It takes place in Egypt. And it tells about how, you know, you could be, how low-income women, for instance. I mean, it tells the story of 3 women from different social strata, and one of them happens to be a low-income woman who has to take the bus every day to go to work. And as she's standing on the bus every day, every day, every day, she gets somebody coming up to her and rubbing against her. And so, you know, this is something that doesn't need to be, this is not Egypt, this is not just, you know, it could be happening in the States, it could be happening in Europe, it could be happening anywhere. And for and even in to get this woman to stand up and say, you know, I am being sexually harassed, this is something that's not right.
Right.
She does not get the support even of her female counterparts. So to be able to, you know, finally stand up for her rights is a journey that in which she faces a lot of difficulties. And then until she finally, so even her own society, even the women around her, tried to discourage her from going out there and saying this is happening. So just having to deal, you know, overcoming shame and overcoming embarrassment and being able to speak out and not constantly worry about, you know, what society is thinking, I think is a very important message, an international message. It's an important story. So I think this is definitely a film that one should be on the lookout for.
And what's it called again?
It's called Cairo 378.
All right, Cairo 378. Lena, I got to let you go because we're right up against the deadline, and I apologize because I think we could go on. If I had a five-hour radio show, of all the things we do need more media, film, radio, television, better newspapers. We need to communicate, and film is one of the best way to communicate. And Lena Mata, ladies and gentlemen, at the Enna Contemporary Arab Film Series, her website is ennaarabcinema.com. Lena, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I wish you all the success in your film series that's taking place in New York City. Where in New York City, by the way, is it through May 15th?
In Westchester. It's about 45 minutes outside of New York, but it's a train ride from Grand Central. So just get to Grand Central, hop on that train, and it's a one-minute walk from the train station to Pleasantville.
Thank you, Lena. Thank you for joining us so much.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, we'll talk to you again.
All right.
That was Lena Mata. She's with the Enna Contemporary Arab Film Series, which is in New York, running right now through May 15th. The website is ennaarabcinema.com. I'm Ray Hanania. Our website is radioballady.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take some phone calls. And we will also, you know, I want to talk to my good friend Hassan Nawash is on the phone. So just hang on, Hassan, while we do these commercials, and we'll talk to him about some issues about what's happening in the Middle East, Palestine, and the American Palestinian community. I'm Ray Hanania here at Radio Ballady. Our website, radioballady.com. Our phone number, 248-557-3300. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org. Jake's Candy. Two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223. Icon Computer Megastore. Mention Radio Baladi for great deals. Computers and laptops from $99. Apple computers from $129. Warranties included. Shipping available. Free layaway plans. Arabic to English keyboards, $5. Mouses, $5. Repairs for iPods, iPads, Apple computers, and PCs. Icon Computer Megastore on Greenfield, north of Warren Avenue in Dearborn. Mention Radio Baladi. Call today, 313-582-3100. 313-582-3100.
برعاية وزارة السياحة اللبنانية ستقام مسابقة ملكة جمال الاغتراب اللبناني في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية للعام 2012. حسنوات اللبنانيات من 9 ولايات أمريكية ستتنافسن على عرش الجمال الاغترابي التزاما بإظهار وجه لبنان الحضاري والجمالي المتميز أمام المجتمع الدولي. سيقام الاحتفال في قاعة غرينفيلد مانر في مدينة ديربون في 24 أيار وبحضور لملكة جمال الكون عام 1971 جورجينا رزق، ريما فقيه ميس يو اس اي 2010، كريستال خوري ملكة جمال المغتربين في العالم للعام 2011. يحيي الحفل نجوم الغناء في الوطن العربي وليد توفيق وأيمن زبيب. سيتم نقل الاحتفال مباشرة على شاشة ام تي في اللبنانية. لدعم الاحتفالية وشراء البطاقات يرجى الاتصال بإلي فرح على 757-717-8000. 8973. أسعار البطاقات تتراوح بين $155 $100 و$75 فقط. من ضمنها العشاء، جزء من رعاية الحفل سيذهب لدعم مستشفى سان جود لأمراض السرطان في لبنان. كول 757-717-8973 or log in MissLebanonImmigrants.com.
Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Baladi. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Baladi. That's 617-283-1018.
Whether it's makluba, water kawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours. And welcome back to Radio Baladi. I'm Ray Hanania here at RadioBaladi.com, WNZK AM 690. Remember, Ziad Brothers also has the great new Zwan luncheon meats, chicken and beef that you want to go out and check with your local Arabic store or Arabic retailer. Let's welcome Hassan Nawash on the phone from the Palestine Center in Dearborn. Hassan, good morning.
Morning to you.
Thank you for being so patient.
Well, no problem. My pleasure.
How is everything going?
Everything is going the same. You know, we're still in this struggle, uphill battle for a long time.
It seems like it's getting more difficult, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, you know, do you hear the saying that giving up is not in the Palestinian dictionary?
Well, you know, I never give up, and I know you never do either. You do a great service by maintaining the Palestine Center in Dearborn and others just like you, trying to preserve and ensure that we're not erased as Palestinians by the Israeli occupation and oppression. I was encouraged, Hassan, and I wonder about you, when I heard the issue of the Egyptian-Israeli peace accord came up, and Fatou, I believe, was one of the candidates, said that, you know, the Israelis are not our friends. They're our enemy, and they're adversaries. And Ammar Moussa tried to play it down, but both of them seemed to suggest that they were going to reexamine that Egyptian-Israeli peace accord because it's not really a peace accord at all. What was your reaction?
Well, I am very encouraged by the events in the Arab world, and the circle is actually tightening on the Israelis and their violations, a continuous violation of anything legal in the international community and laws, and if specifically the Palestinians. So Egyptians are in a different mode now, although many people think that, well, nothing changed. People are impatient a lot. They want change
right now.
And I'm very optimistic about all the what's called the Arab Spring. It is a process, and things that cannot go in reverse anymore. You know, people have broken against the wall of fear, and I am very, very optimistic things will map out fine. Now, specifically, more dramatically even, the cutoff of gas to Israel is in itself an indication of the new regime, no matter what your one's criticism is about it, in terms of outlining the relationship, new relationship between Israel and Egypt.
What I like about it, Hassan, is that that for the first time, policy in Egypt is being directed by what the people want. Do you think that's happening? Because I don't think the people want an empty, shallow, worthless piece of paper agreement with Israel that does nothing for the Arab people.
Absolutely. Actually, when the peace accord was signed, it was very unpopular, and the whole normalization in between Egypt and Israel never took place.
And if I might interrupt you, the main point that Sadat claimed he was trying to make was that not only was this a peace between Israel and Egypt, but it was supposed to be the Israelis making a commitment to address their responsibilities to the Palestinians, which they never did.
The Israelis have been notorious about actually playing the game of victim and saying, hey, we really want peace, quote
right.
unquote.
Right.
While they continue creating facts on the ground with more lapping more land, Netanyahu is the same way.
Yeah.
Continuing saying, oh, well, we want peace, etc., but they are Judaizing Jerusalem every day, just like by facts on the ground. And the same thing with increasing settlements and so on. And the unfortunate thing, Ray, is that even Obama cannot defend his own statements when he says freeze on settlements. And the UN Security Council goes on and vetoes a resolution that says, yes, we should freeze on this.
Right. We can't even stand up to defend our own policy as Americans. It's our policy that the settlements are illegal. Yet, didn't we look like hypocrites when we were criticizing Russia, I wanted Russia to support, the efforts to bring peace to Syria, but how could we criticize Russia for exercising a veto in the Security Council when every veto we've issued has been the majority have been to prevent anyone from questioning or criticizing Israel?
Actually, the United States has tossed more vetoes in the Security Council than any state, including the Soviet Union, the former Soviet Union, and Russia.
So we've surpassed the number of vetoes that the Soviet Union exercised.
Yes. All in support of Israel.
Listen, Hassan, I really respect your opinion, and I really would like to hear what you think. This is a very difficult issue with Syria. On the one hand, I know that, there's so many different factors. There are, for example, Christians that feel that Syria has always protected them. There are people who look at Syria and say, look, Syria is still one of the most contentious in terms of confronting Israel, even though they haven't been successful. And then there's the other side that says, wait a minute, regardless of what issues there are, they're oppressing, their own people and killing their own people. How do you think Palestinians should address the issue of what's happening in Syria? And I know you didn't call in to probably, but your leadership is so important, Hassan. And if you don't mind, how do we deal with that? What do we do?
The bottom line is that there is a conspiracy and actually attempt by the enemies, and I'm talking about enemies of Syria and Israel, and backed by the United States, to actually crumble the state as such. Now, given that, that does not mean that we have to a priori and with no restrictions be supportive of the regime. The regime is actually killing its own people and actually is part, instead of undoing and standing up to these enemies, actually end up playing in their hands.
Right.
Or the bottom line is, look, any democratic process, any breathing of people and have them create their own security to defend against the country against the enemy, not the regime, the country. country against the enemy,
right,
is step in the right direction. And the Assad regime is not facilitating that. And I am really worried about Syria precisely because of that threat from the outside.
And it is a complicated issue, is it? Is it not? It's not simple black and white.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, here is the black side about it also. The United States is in favor right now of having the continued bloodshed forever. They're talking about having them go on with more UN observers for the next year.
So that means that they're
destruction of Syria from within.
And the Israelis must love it because
of course,
there's no pressure from Syria against Israel.
Is in this reminiscence of when the United States was giving actually information and arms to Iran, and when they tipped the balance in its in its favor, will they go turn around and go and give the same thing to Iraq? And they actually were, the killing continued for 8 years while the United States was actually supporting either side. Every time there was a way of trying to win, they would not prevent, they would prevent that and continuing actually supplying both sides. That's it's reminiscence of that.
Yeah, and it's very disturbing. I'm talking with Hassan Nawash of the Palestine Center in Dearborn. He's joining us here at Radio Baladi, and we're very honored to have him. He's a great leader, and I've learned a lot from him. I've also learned how to be more of a moderate. I'd like to call myself a moderate, but every time I hear some good comments and opinions, because you're always constructive, it makes me think, and I try to adjust my understandings, because life is still education from start to finish, and we live in a hostile world, don't we, Hassan, in the United States?
Absolutely. In fact, I also want to call your attention and the audience's attention to having us as Palestinians commemorate the Nakba event of 1948, where actually the Palestinians community has become, then became dismembered as a community.
Right.
A community of refugees, and we are actually commemorating that with the resolve that we are not going to forget, like Ben-Gurion said, that the old will forget and the old will die and the new, the young will forget. We are going to be resilient and continuing to actually insist that we are Palestinians and insist on the right of return, insist on the independence of Palestine, just like any other nation. And we are holding a dinner on the 20th, hosting
very
courageous a man who used to be a CIA analyst, and now he turned against the policies of the United States. His name is Ray McGovern, who has refused recently to be honored by Obama. And this guy is an embodiment of courage in terms of how he found that the CIA and the United States policy is actually hostile to the people of the Arab world. And in fact, he was on the ship, the Audacity of Hope, in order to break the siege against Gaza. We're hosting him, and we're also hosting David Rovics, who is a singer-songwriter who was touring Europe recently. He's in Chicago, actually, as we speak, and will also return to come and play in our event. And I'm just wanting, I want all our people to actually be supportive and come, and they can...
Where is it at? On the 20th, which is Sunday?
20th of May, Sunday, at 6:30, and they can get tickets calling the Palestine office. Cultural office. If you want, I can give them a phone number.
Yes, absolutely.
313-945-9660. Again, 313-945-9660.
Now we have a caller that wants to say hi, Jamal. Jamal, you're on with Hassan Nawash of the Palestine Center on Radio Baladi. Jamal, thank you for calling this morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Gray, and good morning, Hassan. First of all, just very quick, accord and agreement between nations must be, or it will be, and only the way it should be is between equally respected and each other nations. So there is no accord between a nation who says that I can do whatever I want, then give you a peaceful accord. That's the comment. Second, right. The accord between Egypt and Israel, it was an accord between the people of Israel and the government of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt.
Right. Actually, that was the column that I'm writing this week, that the Israeli-Egyptian peace accord was never an agreement between two countries. It was between Israel and one person who was essentially a dictator of Egypt at the time, and the people of Egypt never had a say about that.
Good. We think the same way. Well, it was between the legitimately, it was between the wishes of the majority of the Israelis and very few percentage of the Egyptian people. So now you have in Egypt a different movement. If any accord or any agreement or any respectable, whatever it is, understanding between the people of Egypt and the people of Israel, including the Palestinian, it has to be, the Palestinian must be included because the Palestinians are in Palestine. So any agreement between whatever they call it, I call it Palestine, they call it Israel, whatever, it is Palestine.
Right.
Any agreement between that particular country.
Jamal, thank you. Listen, thank you for the call because we're so tight on time, but I agree with your point, and I think you make a great point. Thank you, Jamal.
Have a great day.
You're welcome. Thank you. Hassan, any final thoughts at all about, promote your event because I think it's a phenomenal thing. I'm going to be coming to Dearborn today, and I'm going to stay overnight, and I'll probably be there all day tomorrow. Maybe if I get a chance, I would love to say hello.
Absolutely. Please make sure you do that.
We'll do that.
Just the only thing that, for those people who are doubters, those people who actually are too impatient for results, I want us to be connected and committed to the process. Our people are moving forward. And I really think that, as Palestinians, we are having difficulties, but at the same time, what's going on is a process that's irreversible, and we are going forward. To me, in the long run, things will be fine, and therefore, I want you to be part of that optimism and come and attend our event. And if you want to come and listen to people who are in dissonance with the United States administration, Ray McGovern is phenomenal leader. So
he is. I've heard a lot about him. He's a good guy.
Yes. 313-945-9660. It is at the Hyatt at 6:30 on Sunday. Try not to come at the door, but, reserve tickets ahead of time.
All right. That's Hassan, listen, thank you so much. Hassan, thank you so much. Hassan Nawash from the Palestine Center. I appreciate you calling in this morning.
Look me up. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Hopefully I'll see you when I come down there. All right, you're listening to Radio Bellady. We're going to take our one quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to someone who really impresses me in terms of how much she does in the Arab community and her understanding of communications and image, Jumana K. Ruse. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to be right back right after these messages.
Good news. As of November 17th, immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Bolity. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Bolity. That's 617-283-1018.
SabilMedia.com is a wellspring of media arts. SabilMedia.com tells God's story through short films, drama, poetry, music, and the internet. And you have free media downloads. Go to SabilMedia.com and listen to Nasheed, based on the Psalms of the Prophet David, for free downloads in several Arabic dialects of stories, short films, poetry, and music. go to sabilmedia.com.
برعاية وزارة السياحة اللبنانية ستقام مسابقة ملكة جمال الاغتراب اللبناني في الولايات المتحدة الأمريكية للعام 2012. حسنوات اللبنانيات من 9 ولايات أمريكية ستتنافسن على عرش الجمال الاغترابي التزاما بإظهار وجه لبنان الحضاري والجمالي المتميز المجتمع الدولي. سيقام الاحتفال في قاعة غرينفيلد مانر في مدينة ديربون في 24 أيار وبحضور لملكة جمال الكون عام 1971 جورجينا رزق، ريما فقيه ميس يو اس اي 2010، كريستال خوري ملكة جمال المغتربين في العالم للعام 2011. يحيي الحفل نجوم الغناء في الوطن العربي وليد توفيق وأيمن زبيب. سيتم نقل الاحتفال مباشرة على شاشة ام تي في اللبنانية. لدعم الاحتفالية وشراء البطاقات يرجى الاتصال بإلي فرح على 757-717-8973. أسعار البطاقات تتراوح بين $155 $100 $75 فقط. من ضمنها العشاء. جزء من رايع الحفل سيذهب لدعم مستشفى سان جود لأمراض السرطان في لبنان. Call 757-717-8973 or log in misslebanonimmigrants.com.
Whether it's Makluba, Warak Dawali, Tabbouli, Hummus, Mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant-style pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf, all tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Import online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sully at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at RadioBallady.com. It is May 11th, and our number is 248-557-3300. Let me welcome a friend of mine, Jumana K. Ruse. Jumana, welcome to Radio Ballady this morning.
Good morning, Ray.
How are you?
Very good, sir. How are you?
And, you know, my Arabic is not that great, but I could hear Layla's melodious voice talking about the Miss Lebanon immigrant pageant that is going to be taking place in Dearborn on the 24th of May, which is a Thursday at Greenfield Banquet Hall. That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
It is, and before I talk about that, I want to thank my very dear friend, Layla, who is doing all of this free of charge. The minute she found out that proceeds from this event will go to St. Jude's Hospital, she has been working tirelessly, Ray. You know your colleague, Layla. How far she can go. She's been working 1,000 miles a second to help us with this, to promote it, to encourage people to attend, to spread the word. She has been doing all of this free of charge.
She is phenomenal. She definitely is an energy, a ball of energy.
Yes, and her heart is on the right place, and that's really what matters. Her intentions are very pure, and it really shows, and God is blessing her because of that.
One of the best things that happened to me as a journalist was to meet her a number of years ago at an event that was being hosted by somebody, And we were able to put together this radio program thanks to her energy and her efforts. But we only have a few minutes left, Jemana. I want to make sure that we talk about your pageant, the 2012 Lebanon Immigrant Beauty Pre-Pageant, which is taking place in Dearborn on the 24th. And then the winners are going to go to Lebanon on August 11th. How many contestants are there for the 24th?
I'm not aware of the... I have not been informed about the latest count, but we cannot take more than 17 or 18 contestants. I can tell you that. We are nearing that number, and they are from a number of various states. And Ray, let me again tell you that this is not a private event. I have been appointed as president of that organization by the Lebanese Ministry of Tourism. This is a non-profit 501c3 organization, and if it weren't, I would not have lent, you know, my name to it, to be honest with you. And the proceeds from this event will go to St. Jude's Hospital, cancer research and cancer treatment for needy people in Lebanon. We requested that it be given to St. Jude's in Lebanon. Miss Universe in 1972, actually, not 1971. She was elected Miss Lebanon in 1971, Miss Universe in 1972. Our Lady Georgina Rizet will come out of hiding and has accepted an invitation to the United States that she has not accepted before in more than 20 years. What an honor for us to have her attend. And her beautiful husband, Mr. Walid Tawfiq, will also perform at the event.
That's phenomenal. I'm looking forward to it. I've heard many great things about it. And, you know, these pageants, I think, are very important in terms of changing the image of Arabs in the West, but also for raising money for good causes, as you pointed out, for St. Jude's Cancer Center.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And again, it is on May 24. There are various ways to purchase tickets, such as going to Greenfield Manor and purchasing a ticket there. Reach Media is another place. And then there's always the website, Miss Lebanon Immigrants. It's with an E and ending with an S. So it's E-M-I-G-R-A-N-T-S. And Ray, I know I look forward to seeing you later on tonight or later on this afternoon. I hope you have a very safe trip driving from Chicago here to Michigan. I hope you will be attending this event, by the way.
I'm going to try my best. My guest, Jemana K. Ruse. Jemana, thank you so much. We will talk to you again. Everybody's Radio Bellity. We'll see you next week, Friday at 8 o'clock. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, Jemana.